Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of the program, and I'm also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We have been broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio now for about 3 years. We're quickly approaching our 1,000th hour of broadcasting. We've had over 100,000 listens to our radio programs, and we're very excited that you have tuned in either live today or you have picked up the podcast later on in the week or weekend. We try every week to bring you a number of guests that are in the tennis world that you may have never heard of or that you've heard of and don't get to hear enough of in the course of the week. Earlier today, before I came on the air, there was American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. Chuck interviewed Dr. Ray Brown of the Easy Academy, and I would suggest, I highly suggest that you pick up that podcast. Dr. Brown is one of the best high-performance tennis coaches in America and offers some great opinions about what is happening with American tennis. Chuck, of course, is one of the great American college tennis coaches, great American tennis coaches that's out there, and each week he gets on the air before I come on Wednesday, now the coach at the Citadel and doing a wonderful job out there of rebuilding that program. On Monday morning is a Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. Lisa comes to us live out of Atlanta, Georgia. She talks about junior tennis. She herself is raising an ace, and that's why she got the name Parenting Aces. And me, I was a college tennis coach for about 20 years, national champion, Hall of Fame, did most of my work at the community college level, had some Division I time as well, and men and women, ATP Tour players, WTA Tour players. I've done a little bit of everything, and been real fortunate to be on the radio now for approaching 3 years, as I said. So I love to talk about college tennis, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got some exciting news that's happening out there in the college tennis world, and I try to approach it from all the areas that are out there, all the different divisions, not just Division I. And you could spend a great deal of time talking about Division I tennis. I hope many of you picked up the podcast from last week. We had Kai Fong. Kai, just a great inspiration to us all. An NAIA program out at Lewis and Clark State. The man donated a kidney, for crying out loud, started a living donor chain, and helped save numerous people's lives. That was just something that you don't come across every day. Does a wonderful job out there. 20-plus years at Lewis and Clark State. Small school, about 4,000 people. Move on this week. We've got former LSU women's coach Tony Menes. Now, that's probably a program you've heard of. We're going to have Tony come on the air in a little while, and he's going to talk to us about a little TV show he got to start called Inside College Tennis. And I might just say it's been successful. And we knew it was going to be successful. We talked to Tony before, and we had an idea that this show was going to be successful. Why? Because people like college tennis. They like to watch it, not only live, but they like to watch it on TV. And Tony's provided an avenue here for people to watch college tennis on TV, and he's going to come tell us about the success of his show and what's happening with his show and the direction it's going. And so we're going to have him on in just a little while. Today we're going to talk a little bit of small college tennis. We're going to talk some TV tennis today and some of the things that I'm noticing that's happening, some very disappointing things that are happening out there in the television tennis world for college tennis, small college tennis, and so on. And then we're going to talk to Tony as well. First up, I want to say congratulations to the John Hopkins women's team. They're the Division III ITA National Team Indoor Champions. That tournament concluded this past weekend up at DePaul University. They defeated Carnegie Mellon University 8-1. Now, remember, Division III, these are the kids that skipped the athletic scholarships and went straight for the academic scholarships. So you know these are the smart kids. Johns Hopkins, we know that this is these are the kids that tilted a little bit towards the medical profession. If I remember correctly, the week before, the men finished second. I hope you're noticing here that the smart kids in the United States of America do play tennis. So not only are they athletically inclined, they are academically inclined, they are tennis inclined. You know, and administrators at the college academic institutions, they need to take a witness to that. We already know that when contributions come in from the alumni, most of the givers on the alumni side are the tennis people, whether they be the late bloomers on the tennis side or the tennis people themselves, they are the givers. It's very simple, and I understand why. We know how to serve. It's real simple. We're taught to serve from an early age. They defeated Carnegie Mellon 8-1. Just whipped up on them. Played all weekend long, got to the final, had it in them, enough in the tank, 8-1. Want to let you know that Chicago finished third out there at the tournament as well. No big surprises here. Most of these teams do have indoor access to indoor facilities. If you remember the week before, Trinity University out of Texas finished third. That was a shocker. No real indoor facilities around the area there in Texas, so in San Antonio. As promised, no Division I rankings this week. I'm sorry. We've talked Division I rankings for the last 3 weeks, and that's because these small college guys, they only put out rankings every so often. They got a lot going on. I mean, you got to remember, these small college people are teachers and coaches. They got other things going on at their schools. They're not just coaches like a lot of these Division I people. So they finally got around to it, put out their national ranking. We're going to start with the Division II women first. I was pretty excited about this list. Number one, Armstrong Atlantic. Number two, BYU Hawaii. Number three, Barry. Now, of those three schools, all three of those schools, those coaches have been on this program. So very excited about that. Number four, Hawaii Pacific. Number five, Columbus State. Number six, Lynn. Seven, West Florida. Number eight, St. Leo. Number nine, Rollins. Number 10, Florida Southern. My dog stepped on my paper, so I apologize about that gap there. It happens out here. Division II men. Ladies first, right? Division II men. Number one, Barry. Number two, Armstrong Atlantic. Number three, West Florida. Four, Lynn. Five, Hawaii Pacific. 6 Concordia, 7 Lander, 8 St. Leo, 9 Columbus State, and 10 Fresno Pacific. Now keep in mind that a lot of these schools, this is the week prior to spring break, so a lot of these coaches are either getting ready to say, whew, I need a little break from these kids. We got a big weekend coming up. Let's get these matches underway and let's take a little break. Or they're getting ready for spring break trips. Remember Dave Porter from BYU Hawaii is loading up his team and traveling over here to Texas. He's going to travel through the state, play teams. You know, some of these coaches do this. Division III, and this one just out recently, I believe yesterday, after the completion of that indoor tournament. Women first, number one, no surprise, John Hopkins, 2 Williams, 3 Emory University, 4 Amherst, number 5, and at a distinct advantage here, Claremont Mud Scripps. There are 3 schools there that form one school in the tennis world, Claremont Mud Scripps. No wonder they're a top 5 program on both the men and the women. 6 Middlebury, 7 Bowdoin. You know, and I know I didn't say that right. I should have looked it up. But Carnegie Mellon, Chicago, and Pomona Pitzer at number 10. On the men, they won it a couple of weeks ago. Washington University at St. Louis, number 2, Williams. 3, here they are again, Claremont Mud Scripps. Remember, 3 schools that put together one tennis team. A little bit of an advantage. Amherst, Johns Hopkins at number 5, Trinity, Emory, Case Western Reserve, Kenyon, and number 10, Middlebury. You know, that Claremont Mud Scripps team is good at 3, but I'm just saying if you put Amherst, John Hopkins, and Trinity together, that they would probably be pretty good too. Just saying. Now, as many of you know, if you caught the last part of my show last week, it's something that I've been talking about and something that's been bugging me and it's something I've been noticing, and I've been talking about it a little bit with some of my college coaching friends. Doubles. And I hate to say this, but I think doubles is on its way out. I think it's on its way out from junior tennis. I think it's on its way out from college tennis, and I think it's on its way out from professional tennis. And I'll share with you why I'm beginning to think this, okay? Let's start with professional tennis, okay? Currently in professional tennis, there are 2 people that are driving professional tennis doubles, and they happen to share the same last name, Bob and Mike Bryan. They are great doubles players, and if you watch the World Tennis Day the other day, they kicked the McEnroe's butt. And I love what they had to say. You know, our dad told us to go out there and kick their butt, play them just as hard as we could. 8-3. They were ahead 7-0, maybe 7-1 before the McEnroe's finally got their act together. But the sad thing is when those 2 brothers retire from professional doubles tennis, who is going to keep driving doubles tennis? What names, what players on the men's side are going to keep driving professional tennis? Doubles. If you've had a chance to watch doubles at the professional level and look in the stands, there is no one there. TV doesn't want to cover it. They claim nobody will watch it. So there's no advertising dollars there. Women's doubles is even worse. Mixed doubles, even worse than that. So I understand how they're going to keep paying the winners, let alone the early round losers of these events. I'd love to hear how that's going to happen. I mean, we all know that the driving force in doubles right now are the Bryan brothers and Wayne Bryan. I receive Wayne's weekly email update when the Bryan brothers win and where they're going and what they're doing. But come Rio and that 2016 Olympics after they retire, I just don't see how professional doubles will continue to be a part of the tour. College doubles, which has generally been a pretty good feed-in for professional doubles. A lot of good college doubles or singles players have made a pretty decent living out on the Pro Tour. Now, I'm a regular subscriber to a lot of Facebook pages. I look at a lot of college news pages for teams. A lot of good players are out there, and they're playing these challengers and being successful on the doubles, and that's because because none of the international players know how to play doubles. College tennis doubles is being taught by the coaches there. But 20 years ago when I started college tennis, doubles was 2 out of 3 sets. Dual matches took 5 to 6 hours. It was too much, way too long. Then they changed things. They went to an 8-game pro set. Dual matches went down to 3 to 4 hours. Still too long. This year they came up with a couple of ways. They said, let's play a 6-game set, and they'll play a tiebreaker at 5-all. They wanted to try to get it under 3 hours. And for the most part, it really didn't happen. If you're a college tennis coach, one of the most irritating things about a college dual match was a lot of fans left after the doubles. Very exciting, intense points are being played. Came down to one match. There was a break that went on between the doubles and the singles, and people thought the match was over. They would leave. In order to play college tennis in under 3 hours, I don't know how you keep singles and doubles in there. So I think that there will be a move eventually here to eliminate doubles. I mean, when you look at what's happening, and I was looking at this yesterday, and I saw this came across my wire, Dish Network, they landed the SEC network, and this is a big deal. And I noticed that the others, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, they're all looking to get on satellite TV because that carries more advertising dollars. But what this... these networks are trying to do is fill their airwaves up with sporting events. That's what's got to happen. So in the spring, you don't have football or basketball after the tournament in March, and then that's a small window there where you can put in baseball and softball and tennis, track and field. And they're starting to do it some on ESPN3. The problem with ESPN3 is how do you put 6 matches and show 6 matches on, at one time? And they're trying to figure this out. They put the camera angle, you know, trying to show 6 courts at once. You can't really commentate on 6 matches at once. It's really hard to do. And I've been proposing some of these things to my college tennis friends. No real disagreement here. It seems like that we've got three big conferences, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, that are kind of dictating what's going on with college tennis at the moment. And they've gone to the NCAA and the ITA and said, listen, we're going to start generating a lot of revenue here if we can put these college tennis matches on TV. And ITA, you're going to get some of this money. NCAA, you're going to get some of this money. But, hey, we've got to get these college tennis matches to under 3 hours. You're going to have to review the way these things are played because it's just not working the way it currently is. We can get a football game to under 3 hours. We can get a college basketball game to under 3 hours. You've got to get this college tennis match under 3 hours. And I just don't know how they're going to do it as long as they play singles and doubles. Now, if the USTA gets involved in this, eventually, in the long term, and this is what really scares me about this whole thing, this eventually could lead to the circus that's known as world team tennis, in which you play a timed format. And some people might say, well, that's great. I love world team tennis. But world team tennis at the collegiate level only reduces the number of tennis athletes on the college campus. As it currently stands, there are about 20 tennis athletes on each college campus. If you go to world team tennis, you're probably only going to have 8 total tennis players on the college campus. Now, out of those 8, how many of those are going to be Americans? And we don't really have enough trouble. But of those 8 that are playing world team tennis at college campuses, how many are going to be Americans? So, as I do, I'm going to keep looking at this, and I'm going to keep following this. But I'm sharing with you that I think that we're on the path here to the elimination of doubles in the college tennis scene and the pro scene and the junior scene. I mean, you can see it in the juniors. The draws are ridiculous. The pros, they're not teaching it. So it's being eliminated. Now, I'm not saying at the league level. I'm not saying at the adult level. That's not where I'm saying this is going. I'm saying in pro tennis, college tennis, junior tennis, you're going to start to see the elimination of doubles from just about everything. And just throwing it out there, it's just something I've started to notice, especially with all these scoring changes, what's going on. So just want you to keep an eye on it. As you know, we'll keep our eye on it. We all know that once Division I decides to make a change, that Division II is not far behind it. Then we know Division III, because they're all associated with the NCAA, goes with it. And as I had conversations with my junior college friends, in the end, the JC, the NAIA, they're the only ones that actually become training grounds for professional tennis because they don't mess with the scoring format. They're not playing no-add scoring. They're not playing shortened sets. They're playing doubles. If they'll hold on to the conservative approach here, they make themselves more valuable. And if the NCAA, the ITA, and the USTA continue to change the formats, they're not a training ground for professional tennis anymore. And when you look at NCAA football, NCAA basketball, NCAA baseball, they're all training grounds for professional football, basketball, and baseball. So tennis would be the only sport at the NCAA level that is not a training ground for professional sports. All thanks to TV. So, I'll get off my soapbox now, and I'm going to get Coach Tony Minnis in here. We've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to continue along the lines here of college tennis, but we're going to 180 degree turn this thing. As many of you know, Tony was the former coach there for the women at LSU. He has now turned things around and gone to the professional side of TV tennis. And he has done a wonderful thing for the college tennis world. He's created a show called Inside College Tennis, and I'm going to bring him on here. We're going to talk about this show and the success that he's generated. Hang on just one second. Let's see if I can bring him in. Hi, Tony. Are you there?
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
I'm having a good day today, Tony. We're thawing out in the south.
Hello, Jason. I was having trouble hearing
you. There?
Say it again. Yeah,
I said we're on out in the south.
Yeah, this is pretty wacky weather. That's for sure.
It's been a weird about 3 days down here in the south. For those of you that keep up with us, we've had ice and lots of coldness. We don't like it down here that way.
How have you been?
So you, you know, right off the bat here, and I've let people know, you know, and you've been on the show before. Former head coach there at LSU, very successful in the college tennis ranks, but that's not what you're doing now, Tony. Why don't you let people know what you're doing right now?
Actually, I was very fortunate to hook up with a production company and create a show called Inside College Tennis. And the theme of the show is for us to go to different universities across the country and show the insides that maybe fans and parents and kids don't really see, to give them an idea of what it takes to play at the level and what the practices are like, what the, you know, speeches before, the strategy, the facilities, academics, weights, the whole shebang. So far the show has been extremely well-received around the country. Our first show aired January 14th, and our second show aired January 21st. Our first show was with TCU on the 14th of January, and our second show was with Tulane on the 21st. And now we just got back from Texas Tech a couple weeks ago, and on March 13th at 7 p.m., coming out of live coverage of the Indian Wells, our third show is going to air. So it's exciting. You know, we're in the early infancy stages of a TV show, and I'm learning every day that goes by, and I'm just very, very fortunate to have producers who have a lot of experience. They've actually won seven Emmys for different things, the Bill Rodman Production Company. And so I feel really good about it and looking forward to the future.
Now, college tennis on TV, and I was reading one of my friends, or talking to one of my friends, and he had put something out there that back in the 70s and 80s, that ESPN used to have a kind of a recap show for college tennis, and he thought it was successful. But, you know, Tony, I can't remember really recently that there's been a college tennis show on TV, you know, that highlights schools and programs. I mean, this is a unique program format, right?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's actually cool to talk to friends of mine in different parts of the country that have caught the show. And I think that it's what makes me feel best about the show is that we're able to expose to people how successful some of these coaches have been and programs have been. And as I was listening to you a little bit earlier, the one thing that's a little disturbing with college tennis is the fact that you have very successful coaches that work extremely hard, athletes that work extremely hard, and as hard as a football player or a basketball player, but nobody knows it. And I think that this is an opportunity to showcase the successful coaches, the successful programs, successful facilities and athletes. So that to me has been the neatest part of it, to be able to put together a 30-minute show and really showcase how successful a lot of these coaches and programs have been.
I mean, there is an unlimited number of stories that you guys are going to be able to tell here, Tony.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and the three shows that we've done so far have all been very different. The first show at TCU talked a lot about Borelli winning 7 national titles at USC, and Dave Roditi done an outstanding job as a lead coach at USTA and building, rebuilding the program, and just Tut Bartson. So it was featured more on specifically the coaches and their styles. And Tulane was more geared because they lost their programs in 2006 when Hurricane Katrina hit, and they're just in the early stages of coming back. Texas Tech is different from either one of those, and it's really neat because we had a chance to mic Tim Siegel up and get his pre-match speech, his talk after the match, his post-game. We went around. He's really done a phenomenal job of supporting other sports on campus. And we, you know, met the football coach, went to a basketball game, and all of that's in there. So the fan, the tennis fan now is going to get to really see how intense the college tennis aspect of it is, and I think it's going to be very, very eye-opening. And I think that's kind of the neat thing about this show is we can go in so many different areas and through the course of time hopefully educate a lot of the kids and the parents as to what exactly college tennis is really all about.
And then with this Texas Tech idea, you know, what I've liked, and I've had Tim and I've had Todd on the show before, is that, you know, yeah, and Lubbock is not in the center of much of anything, is it that these Texas Tech people, they just support each other hands down. You know, they're all over the place out there giving each other support. Is that what came across to you on your visit?
There's no doubt about it. It was I just recalling back to, you know, my coaching days, just the closeness of the coaches at Texas Tech across the board, where I think the volleyball and soccer teams were out, some of the basketball were out watching the tennis match, and there you can tell it's a close-knit group where it's just very different and more. I think what you have at Texas Tech, they're a big-time school with a small-town feel where, you know, it's, the corporate hasn't hit them yet. It's still a very close-knit thing. So it was cool. It was really cool. You know, I've known Tim, God, forever. He grew up here in Louisiana. I've always respected what he's done as a player and now as a coach. And, you know, what the job he's done there and the job Todd has done has been unbelievable. You know, when Tim first got there, there was nothing really there. His teams have been top 25 in the nation 7 out of the last 8 years, tied, you know, winning the Big 12 twice. And like you said, it's not like kids are beating down the door to come to Texas Tech. You've got to really hustle and look to develop and do things of that nature. So it was, I think people are going to really be impressed with the Texas Tech show because it's vastly different. It's a little, you know, initially they wanted us to say, make your shows kind of like Hard Knocks, and it's not quite Hard Knocks, but it's more so than the first couple shows. But at the same time, I think that when people will see it, it'll give them a good indication of just how intense collegiate matches are.
Yeah, now I thought you guys, and I saw a clip came across the internet here. You guys are pretty smart. You corralled that a good-looking football coach to make an appearance on the.
We're trying to get.
Rumors abound that coach looks a little bit like a Hollywood star.
I'm trying to get the female viewers involved. Definitely doing that. Actually, our female producer was really behind that. You know, she was really pushing to go meet him. So I think it worked out well.
Yeah. Now, can you help? I mean, when were you guys out there? Was this a January, February deal? When were you out there?
Very beginning of February.
Okay, so you guys got a spring dual match field this show.
Yeah, it was Super Bowl Friday Sunday, and I'm not going to give away the results, but I'll tell you that Mississippi State was 10 in the nation at the time, and Rice was a very good, very very respectable team. So it was two battles, and yeah. I think as you watch the show, you'll see just how intense. We were very fortunate to catch two matches of that quality.
Yeah, well, it was an unusual situation last year when I had Tim on the show. He had announced that he was going to retire, and he was done. And then all of a sudden he came back, and those people there at Texas Tech recruited him back, and he decided to, hey, I can give more. And thank goodness he did, because he is a great tennis coach in all of this.
Well, the passion that I think what you'll see in this show is the passion he displays for what he's doing. You can tell that he's genuine. You can tell, he's very – it's real. He's very intuitive as far as the feel of what's going on. And I told him this. I've been around a lot of coaches. He's damn good. And so is Todd. The job he's done throughout the course of the last few years with his program and elevating it. So it was really neat to see. The neatest part for me in watching all this, I was looking at all this, and there was no stress for me. So it was, I'm used to being in that arena where, so it was actually fun to just kind of kick back and take it all in and observe and just report on it.
Now, I've got to ask. I mean, you're an SEC coach, and you're at a Big 12 school. Were you really kind of arbitrary in your approach here? Were you inside pulling for the SEC, how'd that come about?
I got to pull for my guy Tim in that situation. He's doing the show. Now, I actually got to know the players, and I've known Tim, and so it was neat to be able to watch him and stuff. But I'm not in the SEC anymore, so I've got to go with who's supporting our program, and it was really neat to see.
Yeah, you bet. Now, this is the third show that you've done. When you and I visited after that, I believe it was after that first show came about. This show, the first show, that TCU show, was very successful in regards to its launch. I mean, if I remember right, you guys hit about 90,000 households. Is that right?
Yes, I think so. I think around 90,000. And I know that Tulane were more.
So, I mean, this the idea behind this show, it's picking up steam as you do this.
Oh, no doubt. It's just we're in the infancy state. I think what's so remarkable about this, and I was actually telling Flo this yesterday, a year ago at this time, this wasn't even a thought in my head. It wasn't even something that – and how quickly this has progressed to where it's gotten – had the success it's had, and it is picking up steam. And I've heard nothing but positive things about it around the country. And I think it's something that, as things go along, will just get better and better. And that's kind of what's happened. It's just been – a progression. It's been a very quick progression, and so we'll see. We'll just see where it goes. I think the Tennis Channel really likes it, enjoys it. I think they want us to do more shows. So, we're in the very early stages of a TV show, and we're just looking to just kind of keep it going. We're just getting more sponsorship and just forging ahead and looking at we want to do. I heard you talking earlier about JUCOs. We'd love to do junior college. We'd love to do, Division III, Division II, NAIA, because I think sometimes one of the things when I was coaching at LSU, there was a little disappointing with some of the kids. There were kids that weren't quite good enough to play at an LSU. And as opposed to saying, okay, there's a Division III, Division II, there's so many opportunities out there. And I think by doing a show like this and really having people understand the opportunities that kids have. I mean, you don't have to be at the Texas Tech, TCU's, LSU's, Georgia's, those type of schools. You can be at JUCO. You can be at a smaller school and still have outstanding experience. And so that's one of the reasons we want to do HBCU. We want to do different type of schools to really expose the opportunities that are out there, which you're getting into, because we talked on the previous show. I found that that was another thing that parents and kids don't really quite understand when they get to college. It was pretty funny when I was coaching, because actually one of my friends used to always tell me, okay, at what point has she figured out what's going on yet? Because it takes literally about 8 months for the kids to kind of, you know, when you come from juniors, it's more chill. And I heard you talking earlier about doubles. In junior tennis, doubles didn't mean anything. In college tennis, that point's a huge momentum thing. So all of a sudden it shifts to where, you know, it's so intense. So I think it's good to really educate people and show the different schools and the different formats and what different schools have to offer and what different people may be into.
Now, Tony, I mean, it seems like, you know, that the realm of this show, I mean, the scope, the long-term scope here, I mean, you've got a great chance to educate just a wide range of American tennis players here in the, you know, as you said, the value of that American tennis experience on so many different levels with the different divisions, it's just going to be so valuable.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I think that that's part of, you have basketball, volleyball, soccer, and tennis are the sports every school has. Every school doesn't have football. Every school doesn't have baseball or golf. But those sports right there, every school has. So there's tons of opportunity out there, especially for women. And just understanding the opportunities that you have and understanding what it takes, how to go about it. And, you know, it's hard in a show or two shows to really fit in everything, because we haven't even scratched the surface of a lot of the details it takes with clearinghouse, and you know that very well, that it takes. But we'll get to it as shows forge ahead. And I think that it will be informative for people, and it probably already has been. I've had people, I didn't realize, you know, weights and conditioning were so hard. I didn't realize stretching is so big. I didn't realize little things that you don't do in juniors. And, you know, some people may, some people don't. But at the same time, to do it with a group of people on a consistent basis is something that's very, very important. One thing, because I forget this, anybody listening, if they would – go to our Facebook page, Inside College Tennis with Tony Menace, and like our page. Greatly appreciate it. We're trying to get to a certain number of likes, and we're actually doing pretty well. In 2-3 months, we've got like over 1,000, so we're trying to get more. And once you like the page, you can get updates on upcoming shows and different things that we're doing and things of that nature.
Yeah, and it's well worth it. I mean, like I said, you know, to get the Siegel Kingsbury clip was you know, was a nice little touch that you guys put out a couple of weeks ago. You know, Tony, I mean, this idea here, I was, you know, as you were saying what you were saying about juniors, I mean, you know, educating juniors, gosh, Tony, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bet that you're educating teaching pros as well, because
yeah.
I, you know, and you know this as a former college coach, how many times are you recruiting? And, I mean, just your local teaching pro has no idea what a college match or a campus or what's expected, you know?
Well, a short side note, probably one of the biggest pet peeves for college coaching is college coaches, especially on the women's side, is the number of transfers. And women's tennis leads the NCAA in all sports of kids that transfer the most. I think a large part of that is it's not really much different at different schools. I just don't think kids really know what they're getting into. and really understand, you know, when you're a basketball player, a football player, and you're used to being on a team throughout the course of volleyball, soccer, you're used to being on a team, then you get to college, and you've really, the first time you've been on a team, it's tough. So I think that it's something that, kids and teaching pros, because a lot of the pros don't really understand the depth of just intensity of what you, you know, for example, when you want to play, if you say, hey, I want to play at a top 20, 25, 30, 40 school, your commitment has to be to the max. You, I mean, and a lot, I would find that a lot of kids didn't understand that, because you're coming in, when you're coming into the SEC and you're playing the teams that we were playing, you better be overly committed to be successful and competitive, because you're going to play top players from all over the world. It's intense. And understanding how that is something that, you know, I think is a learning curve for all freshmen, but I think to get a gauge of just how tough it is, I've seen kids that were top 10 in the country at different universities come in and get hammered, you know, that first year. And so it's very, very, very competitive. And I think it's something that when you sit down and you say, okay, here's my goal, Jason, where do you want to be? You have to understand, okay, if I want to be here, this is what it's going to take. And I think that hopefully the show can help and information to just really understand how intense and competitive it is.
And Tony, now this is your third show that you've done. I know there are future shows planned as you move through this. I think it's a great idea to match them up with these live tennis events. The first one was with the Australian Open. Now you've got Indian Wells. Is that how the Tennis Channel's approaching this with your production team?
To an extent, I think at some point it may become a series where there's like 8 consecutive shows. I think that's what they're hoping in the future, is what we're looking towards. But I think at the same time, That's a beautiful end for us, because it gives us a lot of publicity to be able to, you know, piggyback off of Australian Open and Indian Wells. So, like I said, it's very early. There's a lot of, this is all like we just, a lady, Donna Lamb out of Los Angeles, is helping us with marketing, and she's outstanding. And so this has all been literally, you know, a 4 or 5 month deal, 6 month deal that we've kind of put all this together. So it's still new, and everybody's learning, and, you know, you're going through growing pains and baby steps and everything. But I do think the future looks extremely bright, and I think that this is going to be a show that, from the feedback I'm getting and the volume of coaches that want to do it and the support we're having, I think this can be something that can be very positive for the Tennis Channel and for college tennis for a long time to come.
Well, Tony, what I thoroughly enjoy about it, you know, the natural step would have been here. Let's go to USC. Let's go to Georgia. You know, let's go out to Florida. You know, you guys did it different. You went to some of these schools that may have been, you know, far down the list if you'd gone to those other schools first. And instead, you chose a more non-traditional route here, and have highlighted some great stories, some great tennis stories, and I hope you continue to do that.
That's the plan, and you just said it. We're looking for compelling stories, and that's what we're looking for, stories that are going to be intriguing. And for Tim, his involvement with Texas Tech Athletics is huge, where he's, I mean, a guy, I was so exhausted after 3 days following that guy around. we were all over the place. We went to track, to basketball, to volleyball coach, soccer, you know, and the guy's got I've known him a long time. I didn't realize his energy was quite that high, but he, you know, he's pretty unbelievable. So that was a great story in itself, and the relationship he and Todd had, and, you know, everything's a little bit different, but it's going to be, it should be a lot of fun. And hopefully, you know, I was listening to you while I was holding on about the future of college athletics and what it's trying to do. I think one thing that's important in with this show is it makes it easier to watch any show when you're somewhat familiar with the coaches and players. And one of the neatest things, I'm very good friends with the DePaul coach, and they played TCU, and he was telling me, like, two or three ladies came out from Chicago to see TCU play DePaul that normally don't come out, and they were telling him, wow, you guys beat the team that was on TV. You guys must be good. And it's just kind of neat to, you know, all of a sudden, I think this route hopefully helps with our show in the Tennis Channel and College Tennis, but I think also it adds stories because everybody, TCU, even people that weren't tennis people at TCU, even people that weren't tennis people at Tulane, people that aren't necessarily tennis people at Texas Tech, a lot of those people will watch the show because it not only highlights the tennis programs, but it showcases the campus, the facilities, other sports. And so that is which your niche is not only tennis people, but when we do a university, whatever university it may be, you get a group of people that are going to follow it because they're supportive of that school, they're interested in that school, and they have a chance to find out more about it. So I told Tim that I think he'll probably be president of Texas Tech at some point, but at the same time, I think you'll be very impressed when you see it on Thursday.
Sounds like you needed one of those pedometers out there following Tim around.
And I got there, and it was 75 degrees, and then 2 days later, it was 18 snowing. I was the only bad part, we got stranded in the airport on Super Bowl Sunday. I tried to set my DVR. I was like, I'm going to put earplugs in, not listen to anybody. And sure enough, I'm in Houston, I hear a guy going, man, it's 37-7. I'm like, oh, man. So I but at least it wasn't a great game that I missed.
Yeah, now, Tony, I'm going to let you come back, and before we get off the air, just talk a little bit more about the show. But, you know, you and I visited a little bit before we got on the air talking about college tennis being presented on TV, and we know that ESPN3 has been doing some of this. So can you share with us, through your friends in the college tennis world, what have you heard about their experience being broadcasted on TV? Are they enjoying it, or is it a bad experience, good experience? What have you heard?
I've heard the coaches that I've talked to have had a very good experience. It sounds like Mark Bay's done a nice job as color, and it sounds like the USTA is trying to make a game day experience. I think college, it's just hard. College tennis is very, very difficult to televise just from a standpoint. There's so much going on. I mean, it's hard enough as a coach keeping up with six matches. So when you're playing and you've got six matches going on, and I think at some point, I think it can be something that is somewhat successfully televised, but at the same time, it's just a very difficult thing to do because what other sport, let me give you a better example. If football had where you just saw, let's say you had the defense and offense playing at the same time and the special teams at the same time and you're only focused on offense and you don't see the other two things going on, that's very tough. And that's where tennis is. And to an extent, I think it's the format with the length of matches, but I just think it's a tough venue for people to watch, and I think that's something that hopefully is time. Now, with this ESPN3 going, I'm hearing it's great. You know, people are enjoying watching it, but I think at some point there's going to have to be somewhat of an acceptance of, you know, this is a sport, and changing it is going to, and I'm talking more about the changes. I can see tweaking it to a time span, but I'm not necessarily sure it's strictly just the time span. I think there are other factors that just make it tough.
Yeah, now what I'm afraid of here is that, and I shared it with some of my people earlier, is that they're going to come in and tweak it too much one way or the other. And long term here is that, you know, they may, like I said, they may get rid of doubles because you and I both know as a college coach, one of the things that it would, you know, it was good and bad, but people would show up for a college tennis match and they would watch those 8-game pro sets, and as soon as it was over with, they'd say, well, you know, I'm getting out of here. That was a great match. And you'd be like, well, no, we still got singles to play. And it would be hard to keep them in the stands after the doubles match was over. And, you know, it makes it tough when you've got kind of two parts to it in that regard. And I hope that's not what happens there in the long run.
Yeah, I don't think. I think what's going to end up happening, I was listening to you, you're having all these networks. Tennis is going to be on TV, I do think. I think it's going to be, you know, SEC, Big Ten, all these networks, ESPN3, and I think it'll be good. I just think at some point, it's just a sport. It's kind of like golf. I mean, it's very difficult to put a time span on it, and I just think I don't think that the power that be and the coaches will let it get tweaked so much that it affects the quality. I think a lot of what you're seeing are just experimental, but at the same time, I just think that at some point, it's just the type of sport. I don't know how you're going to be able to shorten it to where it's a certain time length. I think a couple things would do. I think no ad scoring is a great idea. That helps it move along a little bit faster. But it's just the sports just different. Tennis and golf are unique to every other sport. You know, I guess it would almost be like saying, okay, we're going to cut baseball from 9 innings to 6. You know, those sports aren't necessarily time. And you know what else? Track is a sport that you don't see on TV a ton. So the beauty of these stations are they're going to be able to televise and show it. But I think it's going to be very difficult to put it to an extent where it's a certain time. And I think the other part of it, it's just a situation where you're going to have, you know, matches that you're going to have to go in and out of and feature one match, which it looks like ESPN3 is doing very well and just kind of go here and there. But if you don't know tennis, especially if you're not educated, it's tough to keep up with.
Yeah, now this is where some of my college friends have said, well, maybe the internet is a better way to go with broadcasting college tennis, you know, and you can pick up on the 6 matches. And, you know, I don't know if that's the say-so answer in it, but, you know, and when you watch the Australian Open on the satellite, they've got 6 different channels that broadcast 6 different matches at one time. And you know, and I understand that may be the future way to go about it, but and we've got a lot of we're in the infant stages here, and got a lot of learning to do.
It'll get figured out. It's a good thing because you know now you look softball, women's softball is always on, volleyball's on. You're seeing more and more sports. College baseball, I guess, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, went on. It's on all the time now. So I think it's just a lot of experimenting and. With these networks coming aboard, they're going to need content, and you know, this will get out there in due time. But I'm like you a little bit, somewhat traditionalist. I don't want to see doubles eliminated. That's what I'm talking about. I think there's just going to be some acceptance that hey, this is our sport. This is what goes on here, and you don't want to mess with it too much because then. Like you were saying earlier, you don't want to discourage the top players from saying, okay, I don't necessarily know if I want to go to college because, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to really get to play. The NCAA has really, over the course of since I played to now, cut back on the number of opportunities that you have to play enough. So, you know, we don't want to cut back anymore.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, as I stated, I mean, and when you look at training ground potential, I mean, we know that the NCAA football has extended their season to make it look more like professional football. When you look at the NCAA basketball schedule, it looks more like an NBA schedule in regards to length of time. You know, we're going from, you know, October until March, and but when you look at tennis, I mean, we seem to be shortening things,
and that's not the tennis schedule. And I think a lot of that just understanding the sport and kind of, you know, it'll get there. I think it's just a trial and error thing, and I think over time it'll get figured out. It's just going to take a little bit. A little bit of experimenting, some growing pains, and hopefully, you know, in due time, this will be. But there's some positive things. I mean, if we can get the show, you know, continue going, and ESPN can keep televising, and we do that, that just, the, you know, the more of this out there, the better.
Now, Tony, do you ever see like a world team tennis? Does that ever creep into the NCAA?
You know, in 1999 and 2000, they did something at Stanford. And Billie Jean King was behind it, where they took the best combined programs, which mean like they take the men and women and they like combine their ranking, and they took the top 16 teams, and we went two straight years and played the world team tennis format. That would be a nightmare. There, I cannot see that. That would be a nightmare for college tennis if that were ever to happen, because then. You know, you're only in coaches, and I don't. And then I think, from a gender standpoint, it would be the only sport that combines genders. You have swimming and diving, but they're two separate teams. You have track as separate teams. You don't have any sport in college tennis where it's combined. So I really can't see that because I just don't think that would be. That's not conducive to what you're doing, because in that type of format, you're eliminating. Players, so you essentially need maybe, you know, three girls and three guys. And I know, especially on the women's side, the NCAA is looking for more participation, not less. And so I can't see that at all. And I think that would be a disaster. But like I said, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you're definitely right about that. I don't want to see that circus type atmosphere enter into our sport. By any means, and that, those possibilities you come up with, we definitely don't want to see happen to us, for sure. Now, Tony, let's talk about that show again, Inside College Tennis. When does it happen again?
It airs March 13th at 7 p.m. following the Indian Well quarterfinals, and then it replays Friday, I believe, at 4:30. And then Sunday at 5:30, and those are all central times.
Oh, excellent. And you're going to showcase the Texas Tech program, both the men and the women. Any plans after that, Tony? Do you know what you're going to do after that?
We are in negotiations with several schools, and we're also possibly looking to possibly do something with during the NCAA tournament. We're kind of talking to a lot of different people now, figuring different things out. So there'll be more shows. We're just kind of in this stage where the producers too didn't really, they have other things that they're doing, other projects that they committed to before this, so they're pretty busy too. So we're having to look and squeeze different things in.
I kind of imagine kind of a classroom setting here now, where you've got all of these programs sitting out in front of you now, Tony, with their hands up in the air, yelling, pick me, pick me, pick me now?
Yeah, no, it's something like that. It's like the coaches have been very – I think the thing I was happiest about, the everybody really enjoyed the show and thought it was great, so – we've just got to, we're keeping improving it, keeping learning. You know, I'm learning myself, just different things to do and not do. I learned the other day that I actually did a couple questions in my interview with my mic turned off. And so just little things like that, you know, that I'm slowly learning. And it's actually a lot of fun, and it's going well. So I think hopefully this will be a great show. And I appreciate you having me on and being able to talk about it. And anybody listening, go to our Facebook page, Inside College Tennis with Tony Menace, and like it. We're trying to get a number of people.
Yeah, well, Tony, you know you've got some college tennis fans when you come on our show here, and we're always grateful that you spend a little bit of time in your busy schedule to visit with us. And, you know, you're welcome back anytime you want to come back and talk college tennis in your show.
Okay. Hey, Jason, thank you for your time, man. And I look forward, let me know how you like the show, the Texas Tech.
Yeah. Oh, I will for sure. I look forward to it. And thanks again for coming on.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Jason. Take care.
Take care. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Tony Menace. Tony's one of the outstanding coaches in America, college tennis and otherwise. He's done a great job of promoting college tennis, not only in this show, but his time spent there at LSU. And it's just wonderful to see him continue on in these ventures here. I want to remind you to catch that show, Inside College Tennis. That's March 13th at 7 p.m. During the quarterfinal matches there at Indian Wells. You can also catch it on the 14th and the 15th there during that tournament. And also want to let you know that you can catch that Facebook page, Inside College Tennis, and like that page and get updates on the show and the program, and look forward to that. So glad that you tuned in today, and I look forward to you coming back next week for next week's show. Got spring break. Looking forward to a very vocal guest on air. So make sure you get outside and hit some tennis balls if you can. Thanks once again, and see you next week.